जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। महताम खलु विप्रर्षे उत्तम श्लोक पादयो छाया निर्वृत्त चित्तानां न कुटुंबे स्पृहामति। महताम खलु विप्रर्षे उत्तम श्लोक पादयो छाया निर्वृत्त चित्तानां न कुटुंबे स्पृहामति। महताम खलु विप्रर्षे उत्तम श्लोक पादयो छाया निर्वृत्त चित्तानां न कुटुंबे स्पृहामति। It is, please. Mahatam of great devotees, Khalu, certainly, Vipra Rishe, O great sage among the Brahmanas, Uttama Shloka Padayoho, of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chhaya, by the shade, Nirvrita, satiated, Chittanam, whose consciousness, Na, never, Kutumbe, to family members, Spruhamatihi, consciousness with attachment. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satiated by the shade of those lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family members. There is an echo. Can you turn down the volume a little bit? Thank you. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala Ye Chhayaya Jagat Judaya. He describes the shape of the feet of Lord Nityananda as being so nice and cooling that all materialists who are always in the blazing fire of material activities may come under the shade of his lotus feet and be fully relieved and satiated. The distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulation of living with a family. One who comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord never becomes attracted by the activities of family life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 59, Param Drishtva Nivartate, one gives up lower engagements when he experiences a higher taste. Thus one becomes detached from family life as soon as he comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Ajnana Tinirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So some questions. Who's speaking this verse? Do you know? Parikshit Maharaj? Are you sure? One more chance. Well, the Bhagavatam is between two people. If it's not Parikshit, that's Vishwa. The answer is Parikshit Maharaj. It's right. Parikshit Maharaj is speaking. And he's speaking a principle. So in yesterday's purport, the last two statements, I'm going to read those and then continue from there. Therefore, was attachment for family affairs and devotional service are incompatible. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was somewhat surprised to hear that Maharaj Priyavrata was simultaneously attached to devotional service and to family life. And so today is speaking that principle that those who are great persons, he said, elevated Mahatmas, Mahatma, great persons. Once they have the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, why would they want to engage in, or why would they want to become attached to family members? It doesn't make sense that having received Krishna's lotus feet, why would somebody want to become attached to family life? It's a very straightforward question, in fact, very logical question. It's like saying, why would somebody who likes gulab jamun eat tootsie roll or something? Some people like tootsie roll better than gulab jamun, and they're the unfortunate persons, but something like that. Why something so relishable, sweet and nice, be someone have a taste for, I was going to say Twinkie, but some people do like Twinkie, so I was going to Tootsie Roll, something really, totally machine processed, with so many chemicals, etc. Why would somebody like that? So the trick here, there are a couple of things. One, first of all, Prabhupada says, the distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulations of living with a family. Meaning, there's a phrase in Hindi, and we've heard this many, many times, and I'll say it again. Dilli ka laddu, jo khaya wo pachtaya, jo nahi khaya wo bhi pachtaya. Apparently there is a laddu called Dilli ka laddu, made in Delhi. The those who eat it, they suffer, and those who don't eat it, they also suffer. So jo nahi khaya means those who have not entered grahastha ashram, from far they look at, I shouldn't say grahastha ashram, married life. Now we're going to make a distinction between grahastha and grahamedi very soon. But married life. From here, married life looks so nice. As brahmachari, maybe the clothes are really not necessarily ironed. They're all mixed and matched somehow or the other. But married prabhus, their clothes are all ironed nicely. There's nice prasadam made at home, varieties. Today, this variety, tomorrow, that variety. So the persons who are not married may look at it and say, wow, what a nice life this Prabhu has. I wish I had that also. Some people think like that. Now, ask the married person, and he says, oh, I may get my clothes ironed, but I also get the sauce. Because there are other things that come with that package. So family life means lot of extra responsibilities. The lot of extra responsibility means proper environment, proper engagement for wife and family, household, income, things in the household, maintaining the things in the household, and doing things that family people do, etc. They have to worry about so many other problems that were not there before that. So the question Maharaj Parikshit is asking is, why? Why would somebody get attached to family life if they are engaging in devotional service? Why? What is the need? So the answer is, there is no need. From a human perspective, There are four spiritual orders and four material orders of life. The material orders are called ashramas. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And the four Varanas are called Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So, the four Varanas and four Ashrams, they are necessary for people to progress through human life. First of all, Varanas are already there. It's not somebody chooses, I like to be a Shudra. Most people don't like to be Shudra, but behave like. Because Shudra means very easy life. No need for any responsibility. No need to take up any responsibility. No need for culturing oneself. No need for worrying about elevation of consciousness. Shudra means very simple. What can I eat? What will I get to eat? And where will I get to sleep? This is Shudra consciousness. It is said actually that according to the Varana, when you meet persons, you're supposed to ask questions that is suitable to their Varanas. For example, when you meet a Brahmana, of course in America everyone's asked, how are you? Or another way of the cool way of asking how are you is what's up? What's up? Something like that. Right? But how are you is not asked in the Vedic sense to everyone. To a Brahmana, you don't ask, how are you? To a Brahmana, you ask, what are you studying? What is your preaching look like? Please tell me something about your preaching experiences. This is how you ask a Brahmana, how he is or she is. To a Kshatriya, the question, how are you, is asked, how's the management going? How are things in your kingdom? Is everyone satisfied? Is everyone performing their duties nicely? That's the question to ask Kshatriyas. To Vaishyas, you ask, how are the cows? How's the crops? How are the crops this season? Did you have nice bounty of crops this time? Like that. And to Shudra you ask, how are you? How are you basically means, how is your body? Is it well fed? And to be a little more refined, how are you means, how is your mind like? Is it too bothered by lamentation and hankering? So how are you means basically, how is your body and mind? Because Shudra, when you say, how are you, for him, you means body. Maybe the mind. One time someone asked my spiritual master, how are you, Maharaj? The untrained person, how are you, Maharaj? And the answer he got back was, I am extremely happy to be engaged in Krishna's service. And that person never asked a question like that again. Because asking, how are you, Maharaj, doesn't make any sense. You understand? So a Kshudra is never asked, Kshudra is never thoughtful of caring for higher levels of consciousness. For them, remaining within what's called family life is the all in all of life. So there are two categories of married people. Those who are suffering, and those who are suffering very much. It's a joke. No, that's not true. One devotee told me, this is what married life means. Engagement ring, wedding ring, suffering. Progressively. So there are two categories of married people. Those who are only thinking about finding happiness in that situation. And the second, first of all, they are called Griha Medhis or Griha Vratas. And the second category is of those persons who use married life to upgrade their consciousness. They are called grihasthas. The word vrata means fixed. Right? Vrata. This is my vrata. I'm fixed in doing this activity. So there are many persons who have the name, some prefix to the word vrata. Deva vrata. This was Bhishma's name before he became Bhishma. Deva vrata means one who's fixed in devotional service to Vishnu. Or Satya vrata, one who's fixed in pursuing the absolute truth. Drudha vrata, one who's fixed in his determination. And then there is the poor griha vrata. Griha vrata means one who's fixed in trying to find happiness in family life. And it is said that there is no happiness in family life. Not the case for grahasthas. The difference is grahasthas are convinced that there is no happiness in family life. It doesn't mean that they don't care. Here the word is used, attachment. Spriha mati, consciousness with attachment. Spriha means contact or attachment. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, name karma phale spriha. I am not touched by, I am not influenced by, I am not attached to the fruits of my activities. So, the actual purpose of being in a grahastha ashram, ashrama, the other day Gokula and the Prabhu explained, ashrama, by the word itself, means a place of spiritual cultivation. The word brahmachari generally is understood to be not married or waiting to be married. This is not brahmachari. Brahmachari means Brahma Acharati, one who is cultivating life on the platform of Brahman, one who is cultivating, practicing life on spiritual principles. And they are taught, Brahmacharis are taught one principle only as an activity, and that is detachment. Especially detachment from the fruits of their activities. And this is how they were taught. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Acharan Dasavat Nicham Gurur Hitam. That they go out every day to beg on behalf of the spiritual master. They were supposed to go from door to door, beg alms of food, food grains, fruits, vegetables, etc., milk, other items necessary for household life, and bring it back to the Guru. Everything. And so, within the Brahmachari's consciousness, by this daily activity, is imprinted this whole idea that whatever comes to me belongs to my Guru. There is no sense of proprietorship. This is mine. Because the moment one considers this is mine, then there is this whole sense of I am going to enjoy this. So the brahmacharis are carefully trained. Whatever comes belongs to Guru. Whatever comes belongs to Guru. One should not keep anything for oneself. In the pre-married, I guess, phase of life, everything goes to Guru and for Krishna's service. There's a story in the Mahabharata. There were three disciples who were graduating. They're called Snatakas. So I won't tell the whole story of all the three disciples. I'll tell one of them. He went to beg for alms. And the whole day he would beg and come back. And he would give Guru Mata, the wife of the spiritual master, all the things that he brought. But the Guru observed that their disciple is really very healthy, well fed. He's not like skinny from all this begging and extra work that he's doing. So he asked him, "What's going on? You're so healthy, you're looking so all buffed up. Are you sure whatever you're getting, you're giving back?" And he said, "No, whatever I bring back, I ask for a little extra milk for me, and I'm only drinking milk." So Guru said, "This is not proper. You cannot say this is for Guru and this is for me. This principle is not right." So everything should come to the Guru. He said, "All right." Few days later, the Guru observed that he was still nice and hefty like this. The Guru said, "Are you bringing back all the milk?" "Yes, Gurudev." Then he said, "How come you're still like this?" He said, "What I'm doing is whatever milk the families give, I'm bringing to you. And when the calf finishes drinking the mother's from the cow, the last little bit I'm sucking from the cow." The Guru said, no, you cannot take away the share of the calf like that. Everything must come to Guru." He said, "All right." A few days passed by, and this fellow is still nice and hefty. The Guru said, "What's going on? Are you still not giving everything back to Guru?" He said, "No, everything is coming to you." He said, "How come you're still like this?" He said, "I realized I shouldn't take any share from the calf. So as the calf is suckling milk from its mother, the froth that's on its side, I'm taking that froth." He said, "That is also not okay. You cannot take anything like that. Everything must come to Guru." "Yes, Guru Maharaj." Of course, then the later is the stories, then he becomes a great disciple. Then what happens is, story passes on, he one day walks into a forest and he becomes very hungry. But he knows that he cannot eat because the Guru has not invited to eat. If the Guru doesn't invite, "Please come and take your prasadam," the disciple doesn't come to eat. That means he's fasting. That day if the Guru forgot, that means he's fasting for the disciple. So he was traversing through the forest, and something happened. He ate, by mistake, he ate some berries or something. I forget the exact details. And he became blind. Oh, sorry. Yeah, he fell into a well, a blind well. And in that, he became blind. No? I'm forgetting the detail. Then someone comes and tells him, "You can eat something." And he says, "No, my spiritual master didn't order me." And then he says, no, your spiritual master also ate." He said, "But that's okay, I've got an instruction to not eat something." And then he gets a blessing to become a great personality. I forget the details, so I basically kill the story. But you get the point is, a brahmachari is taught detachment. Such a person is ready for grihastha life if he decides to take it. But to jump over brahmachari life straight into grihastha life is extremely risky. Of course, it's risky for a person who wants to cultivate spiritual life. For a person who doesn't think about spiritual life, this is just the normal things to do. It is the category of punaf punas charvita charvananam. The parents got married. They had a miserable life. Then they encourage their children, "You also jump into the fire." But why? Everyone else is jumping. You should also jump. We jumped. Is your marriage wonderful? You're having a great time? No, but you know better. You can do something different. You can learn from all our mistakes. This is called wisdom. And they push their children to doing the same thing. This is called punaf punas charvita charvananam. But the point is, the one should not enter grahastha life without proper preparation. The preparation is to learn how to not become attached while perfectly executing one's responsibilities. Very, very, very crucial. If one doesn't enter with proper preparation, here's what's going to happen. One will learn it the very hard way. To learn it the hard way means to spend many years to come back to the same realization that was spoken about many years before they got into that situation. So it's a waste of time. Because no one knows when life is going to end. Better to get in prepared. Now there are many who get in without preparation, because the Hare Krishna movement in the modern context, a lot of people come to Krishna consciousness after they have been married. And one realization is common for everyone: I wish I knew before. I wish I was prepared before I became married. My sense of responsibility, my sense of engagements would have been very different. I personally had that experience. I have that experience. I wish I knew. I wish I even knew that brahmacharya is an important and an existing phase that everyone must go through. I thought brahmacharya meant, oh, that person is not going to get married. That's not what brahmacharya means. Brahmacharya means student life, preparation stage. Everyone must go through it. One must be given the proper training. But nowadays we can't speak of brahmacharya, because right in fifth, sixth, seventh grades, everything happens in school. They already talk about boyfriend and girlfriend. They already talk about kissing. They already talk about all these things right at elementary school. By the time they come to high school, they know everything by experience. They know. And what's the solution that modern education system comes to? What's their solution? Sex education. And sex education just means, do what you're doing, just here are the precautions you take. This is not education, this is encouragement. And so the only, the excuse or the only other solution they have, not solution, the only rationalization they have is, they will anyway do it. They will anyway do it is not a good reason or good enough reason. They will anyway do it because that's what they are seeing everywhere. They turn on the TV and they say Mickey looking at Minnie. Right? Right from the childhood. They look at TV series or movies that are all about this. They see around them everything all related to, I'm using the example of sex life in the context of what's called family. So that's what they think. So the concept of brahmacharya is so foreign and it is so bizarre for most people that they think, what is this? Then there are the lobbyists, the advocates, who say celibacy, this is abnormal. And the examples they quote is, look at all the people who've been celibate and see how much they have done behind closed doors. That's because they have curbed their natural tendency. Oh yeah, therefore the solution is, don't curb this tendency. Don't be so unnatural that you encourage celibacy. Abstinence, what is that? You're crazy like that. The issue is not whether you're crazy or not crazy. The issue is where the taste is. People will do what they have a taste for. And the taste is cultivated by the culture and environment that we're part of. If I'm told, this is the taste, go for it, then that's what I'm cultured for doing. Spruha mati means the consciousness gets attached to a particular culture of life, a way of living. But if one understands the importance of celibacy, the importance of living with responsibility, the importance of elevating the consciousness to higher levels of, I guess, pleasure, then celibacy is like, not a problem. But that culture is not there. And because that culture is not there, his Prabhupada says that the life of materialists is like a life of blazing fire. Because irresponsible sexual behavior, irresponsible such cultures, leads to strifes, disagreements between people, between people. Therefore it is said that one should live a life of responsibility. Therefore it says Nitai Pada Kamala. Nitai Pada Kamala is one who has the shelter of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. That means one's life which is guided by a spiritual master. Such person, when they have that shade, Koti Chandra Sushitala, they feel cooling effect of not having to worry about or not having to be beaten up by all these strifes of life. It doesn't mean that one should not get married or one should not have a family life. That's not the meaning. If one can do without it, fantastic. But most people, or many people, can't. So they're given a license, they're given a concession, they're given a facility, but then they're asked to use that facility responsibly. Because if that facility is used irresponsibly, then there is danger. Like we do everything else in life. One example that Prabhupada gives is of a razor used for shaving. If it is used carefully, responsibly, gives a nice shave. Little negligence, and it nicks. And Prabhupada says, immediately blood is drawn. We're given the license and facility to drive anywhere in the country. You can go from one part of the country to another part of the country. I had a friend who drove from LA to Boston, across the whole nation, literally. You can drive, anyone can drive. That facility is given, along with that is the responsibility. Drive without breaking the law. Because if you're negligent driving on the highway, people die. So along with facility comes responsibility. So the facility in grihastha life is partner, family, facility, income, like that, engaging with the world. With these facilities comes the responsibility. That the responsibilities, even for a moment, you have a sense of proprietorship. This is mine. Finished. It is always, I'm serving. This is the facility because I'm serving. I would like to serve without attachment. Attachment is commonly that we want a particular outcome. Because I'm nice to my wife has to be nice to me. That's an attachment. It's an expectation. Because I'm nice to my husband should be nice to me. That's an expectation. Because I'm doing this so much for my children should reciprocate back with me. That's an expectation. That's called attachment. Or another sense of attachment is not seeing family, wife, children, things as, before we get to things, wife, children, relatives as spiritual entities. One who doesn't see them like that, doesn't learn to see them like that, is caught up in that web. So I've been studying Prahlad Maharaj's prayers this morning as part of my study. This is the verse since yesterday I've been studying and it fits perfectly. I don't remember the whole verse, but I'll try. Viprat shadguna yutat, dvishadguna yutat. Prahlad Maharaj says that more than a brahmana who is endowed with 12 great qualities, and these 12 great qualities are given by Sanat Kumara. Sense control, equanimity of mind, cleanliness, truthfulness, etc. There's a whole list of 12 qualities. Such a person, but if he is Aravinda Naba Pada Aravinda Vimukha, if he is somehow not attached to the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Krishna, he may be a brahmana with all these fantastic qualities, but he is not connected to devotional service, this brahmana cannot do anything for himself or his family. However, even a devotee who may be born in a chandala, dog-eater family, shvapacha varishtam, shvapacha means born in a family of dog-eaters, varishtam means better than that brahmana. And such a person who is engaging in devotional service, even if he doesn't have all these great qualities, he purifies himself, putam sakulam, he helps his own family. And in that purport, Prabhupada writes, there are so many American and European devotees who have really helped their families. And he gives an example. Such even so, that one of the mothers of our devotees, at the time of her death, she was chanting Hare Krishna. This is the benefit. Grahastha means that they are serving their family members in such a way that the family members at the time of their death will remember Krishna's name. And vice versa, they're helping each other. If this is not the purpose, then that married life is hellish. It's miserable. Although it may have a lot of money, it may have facilities. In fact, a very good wife and husband relationship, even then it is called hellish. Hellish family life just doesn't mean where the wife and husband are fighting. Hellish means when they're also very nice to each other. They may celebrate so many anniversaries. 50 years, 60 years. Of course, in America, if you say we've been married 50 years, it's like, wow, such a rare thing. Even if they do so, but if it's not centered around Krishna, it's called hellish. So Parikshit Maharaj has this really amazing question. How is it possible for a person like Priyavrata, who's so elevated in his consciousness, how did he get married? And even when he was married, how did he not get attached to family life? Point is, it is very easy to get attached. That's the point here. It's very easy. See, on one hand, we do say we must be very attached to devotees. Correct? And the common line that we use is, the best form of intimacy is in a relationship between the served and the servant. This is in the first canto, first chapter, text number 10, Prabhupada gives. The most congenial form of intimacy. When one serves another person, they become very close, they become very intimate. So when this happens among devotees, why not between wife and husband who are with each other every day and they're serving each other? There is intimacy, there is attachment. Intimacy in this sense. So how can one not be attached? So that's the trick. That's called the finesse of devotional service. How not to become attached on the bodily platform. Attachment, there's nothing wrong with being attached. The wrongness is in being attached on the bodily platform. Being attached on the spiritual platform is nice. It should be there. And it's not possible to not serve and not be attached. One, as soon as we serve someone, we become attached to them. But that attachment must be on the spiritual platform. Even among devotees, not just wife and husband. And that spiritual attachment comes only when Vishnu or Krishna is in the center of that relationship. Otherwise, bodily attachment means, how can that person benefit my body and mind? And how can I benefit their body and mind only? So bodily attachment doesn't bring anything higher. It only brings further degradation. Degradation of consciousness. So, some comments, open for discussion, points, Himanshu, Bhakta Luk. Yeah.
So in my little short time of Krishna consciousness that I've seen in the society of man is either enter the Brahmachari life and people get some sort of renunciate, or they enter and people can't afford to have some work out for me. So I'm just wondering if both of those platforms are the platform of Rabbi and Vaishnava. I don't want to support, you know, one of them is not that attached, I'm probably gonna need a wife. It seems like in neither case the definition or the choice to get married is made on the basis of, well, what's going to be good for my spiritual life. And then also there's a third scenario where the young man may be thinking, oh, she's a nice Mataji, she seems to be following the principles, together we'll serve Krishna. But internally he's been driven by lust, but he doesn't recognize that. He thinks, no, I'm going to have a very nice Vyasa life. So it's kind of bewildering without...
It is. So in your statement in the beginning, there's a presumption that's not correct, that one who is a nice brahmachari will become detached, that he will think that family life is not necessary. That's not correct. That's not correct. One can be very detached and understand that grihastha life is a better situation for him to execute his spiritual life. So, example, Prahlad Maharaj is quoting all these prayers, right? And in that he speaks so heavily against grihastha ashram. Not grihastha ashram, he speaks against married life. Griha medhis. Griha vrata, griha medhi. Sex life is like the itch that comes from rubbing of hands. And people think, ah, that is so amazing. He speaks like this. And guess what he did? He married. So is he a hypocrite? No. For him, he understood that situation is good for him. However, the same principles apply. Serving with detachment. So these are phases of life. And a person can go through either this stream of life that goes to Brahmachari ashram, and recognizes, this is my life. I'm perfectly content being like this. And another person might say, I am well trained, I understand what the responsibilities are, and I'm willing to take those responsibilities with proper understanding. And that's perfectly okay. It's not that everyone who gets married is like, whoa, lusty fellow. It's not right. That's not correct. Whatever they decide that that's how I can execute my spiritual life nicely, then that's nicely. Of course, it's not done without consultation with Guru and the Vaishnavas. That's a given. So that's the first part of the presumption. The second part is, if one doesn't know, like you said, I'm taking the third one first. Second, that's a nice Mataji, and she seems nicely trained. We can execute spiritual life together, but internally maybe driven by lust. So that will come out, right? And by the process of bhakti, proper execution of bhakti, that will get burnt away. If it doesn't get burnt away by the process of bhakti, one will learn it the hard way. Maharaj Priyavrata also gets engaged, attached. We'll see in this. Perfect brahmachari, ordered to get married and take up the responsibility of Manu, takes up, becomes attached, and then becomes relieved. So in that, Prabhupada will discuss how even a person like that, their consciousness can dip, however they protect it. So the protected part is, if one is not living life according to Guru's instruction, the protection is not there. It's the Guru's instruction that's the protection. Always, always, always. So grahastha life doesn't mean, now I don't need anyone's guidance. I was guided as long as brahmachari, my gosh, now I've moved out, the bhakta leader is not anymore after my case, now I'm fine. So one leads a life according to spiritual master's instructions. That's the protection. Priyavrata Maharaj will be promised by Lord Brahma, by Swayambhuva Manu and Narada Muni, don't worry, you'll be protected. And there was a second part that I missed. The other brahmachari, the other person, the second scenario is, no, I don't need to. It's not about I don't need to, it's about understanding what is my nature. And most time we don't understand our nature so well because our psychophysical condition is so clouded by the modes of nature. Of course, psychophysical means according to modes of nature. But we may not understand exactly what it is. Therefore we need someone who can look at us and say, this is your nature, this is your nature, this is your nature, this is not your nature. So if you don't remember anything from today's class, I would not blame you. If you remember anything, just remember this one thing. Being married or not married is not the issue. Being married means being responsible, being attached to Krishna in that service. And one will not be like that if one is not trained in it prior to entering that phase of life. It is not that married people are fallen and unmarried people are really great souls. Of course, in an absolute sense, that is true. Yet, in another sense, it's not true. Like in our whole list of Mahajans, there are 7 grahasthas out of the 12. So it's not this situation or that situation. It is sthane sthita, shruti gatan, tanuvan, manobhir. That's what's more important. That verse of Prahlad Maharaj also says the same. That a dog eater, if he is attached to Krishna by his mind, words, activities, and offered all his wealth and intelligence, such a person can benefit. You wanted to clarify something?
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? Bhaktalok.
The topic of responsibility.
Topic of responsibility.
It can be somewhat overwhelming.
Responsibility can be overwhelming?
Yeah, especially coming out of material existence when we realize we've been committing sinful activities for millions of lifetimes and we've got this huge weight of, you know, reactions, and it's causing us a lot of trouble. So how there's a person who is thinking, you know, anyway, I don't want the responsibility, or why should I have to take responsibility, because anyway I did not know, I was in ignorance.
I was in ignorance when I got married?
No, this is not specific to related.
In
to
general.
My, yeah, this is more general.
Okay.
Approach. What would you say to such a person trying to get out of it?
If responsibility is overwhelming, irresponsibility is devastating. Nobody, whether spiritualist or not, cannot live without being responsible. In fact, we are seeing and experiencing the outcomes or consequences of irresponsible behavior. When governments are irresponsible, the whole countries suffer. When leaders are irresponsible, everyone else suffers. When householders are irresponsible, family suffers. When individuals are irresponsible, the environment suffers. So irresponsibility is devastating. And ignorance of something as an excuse is foolish. Right? Even in day-to-day life, one cannot say, oh, I did not know. Suppose I drive recklessly and I get pulled over. I say, why are you driving like this? Oh, I did not know. What would the cop say? I get a bigger ticket for saying I did not know. Even if you say, oh, I'm sorry, that was a mistake, versus I did not know. I did not know is not a good enough answer. You are supposed to know. That is what human life is meant for. Now, spiritually speaking, Atatu Brahma Jigyasa. That's the phrase, axiom. Atha means therefore. Therefore actually implies now that you have a human life. Therefore, Atha means now. Brahma Jigyasa, inquire into the Absolute Truth. And so that Atha means when you have a human life or whenever you've come to hear about it. But to say, I did not know, is a really, really dumb excuse. One should know. If one puts their hand in fire and say, oh, I did not know, fire burns. Well, what you get is a burnt finger, so now you will know. Like that.
So, another kind of perspective, there is... This is not perfect understanding of the philosophy, but many people might think, you know, I have my material responsibility and my spiritual responsibility. So the spiritual responsibility is the real thing. So then we see, you know, even in the movement, a lot of people are just getting married and then they don't like it and so they give it up thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, take sannyas or, you know, go to the dham and do...
Thankfully we have sannyas ministry. So they cannot take sannyas anymore. No. Prahladananda Maharaj is very strict. Okay. So, one who thinks like that has not understood responsibility carefully. Second, one who is spiritually responsible will naturally be materially responsible. You can't find persons who are spiritually responsible and materially irresponsible. You will not find people like that. If you do, something's not okay with their spiritual vision of things. And the idea of material means not connected to Krishna. So a person whose spiritual vision is clear sees everything connected to Krishna, including family and work, all of that. The shining example of that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was never very nice with his japa and completely backlogged and irresponsible with his court work. It was never like that. What is this Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Well, this is material anyway. Never like that. Perfect. In fact, so efficient what he did. He would finish court work or all his cases in 2 hours that his colleagues would take 2 days or something like that. Very fast. Hundreds of cases. As they were speaking, he knew the judgments because he was so clear. 10 children. I have one child and I know what it takes. Because I'm not Bhaktivinoda Thakur anywhere, not even a speck of dust. But one child is here, 10 children. He wrote 80 to 100 books, managed 2,000 bhakti vrikshas, sang all these songs, wrote all these songs, chanted, 100,000 names a day, drank a glass of milk, that's about it, and spoke and heard from Jagannath Das Babaji every day. It's like, wow, how is it possible? Well, that's what he did. So, that vision is not proper vision. So something's wrong in that. Now in some people's life, marriage may not even work out. Then you can't just slap it with, that's irresponsible. We don't know. Since we don't know the intricate details of people's life, we can't say. They may have really tried, something might have not have worked out. It may be Krishna's arrangement that it doesn't, whatever. Like in Srila Prabhupada's life, something was not working out. He was thinking, I'll marry again. And his father said, this is actually good for you. According to Chanakya Pandit, Bharya Rupavati Shatru. If you have a good looking wife, she's an enemy. So one should go and marry a really hideous looking person. No, that's not the point. The point is, because one might get enamored by, oh, such a beautiful. Same for women. It's not just women. I don't know, Chanakya Pandit didn't say it, but we'll make it up. Patni Rupavata, Rupavan Pati Shatru, something like that. One may get so enamored by bodily conditions that not considering other things. That's the point. That all right? Okay. Anyone else? Nothing from the camp here? Like this is an old fiery camp? Yeah. There. Oh, nothing from you? Really? Huh? Not that fiery today. I'm fortunate. I'm lucky.
This is a question from Jonathan Muneber. And he says, if one is already in householder life and is trying to cultivate spiritual advancement without being fixed as a brahmachari first, what are the ways to detach from each other and only engage our senses in devotional service to Krishna?
Who's asking? Jonathan?
Jonathan Muneber.
Oh, Bhakta John. Can you read the question again?
If one is already in householder life and is trying to cultivate spiritual advancement without being fixed as a brahmachari first, what are the ways to detach from each other and only engage our senses in devotional service for Krishna?
Like I said, this is the case for many of us. I did not know anything about all of this. Whenever we come to know, that would be the time to start. Bhakta Glenn started his devotional service 60 plus years after he came into this world. Of course, in one sense he was a devotee since his childhood, but like pure bhakti. And whenever he came to know, that's when he took it up. So, how to? Whenever we hear about it, we must expect certain challenges. We must expect that treading through those challenges, because we don't have preparation already, is more difficult. So what is needed is a very, very strong relationship with the Vaishnavas and one's guru. That is the one that can take one beyond any difficult circumstance. So one might say, well, if I have a strong relationship with guru, then it's okay if I'm not trained prior. No, that's wrong. If one already has a strong relationship with guru, that means one is being trained nicely. If we came into contact with a guru without, or whenever we have passed through certain phases of life, that's when we take our training in Krishna consciousness seriously. And the training means proper hearing, careful chanting, and actually offering the fruits of our activity to Guru and Krishna. One must give. For a grihastha, if he does not give in charity, that grihastha falls down. A grihastha must engage in deity worship, otherwise he falls down. Falls down not like that. But the higher taste will not come. I should say it nicely. Higher taste will not come. If one doesn't give in charity, the sense of proprietorship will grow. Right? In the Bhagavatam is described that a brahmachari who doesn't engage in proper hearing falls from his position. A grihastha who doesn't engage in charity falls from his position. A vanaprastha who doesn't take austerity falls from his position. And a sannyasi that doesn't travel and teach falls from his position. Because that's their dharma of that particular phase of life. So, whenever we come to know, that's when we take things seriously, carefully, and cultivate our Krishna consciousness. So Jonathan, that's how I would answer it. It's a big topic. I'm just answering in less than 2 minutes. Okay, I'm conscious of time. I think we're a little late. Sorry. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.